All right, once again, Tools for the Times. My name is Mark Stanton Welch. This is the 18th of August, 2015, and we are on session 7 in the block 2. This will be the last of the block 2. We're about halfway through for those who have signed on for the entirety of the experience, which seems to be evolving as we speak. So, as noted in my last email that I believe and hope intended for all of you to get, is that there will be no break in between them like I had originally intended, mainly because we've had stops and starts along the way, and I'd like to keep the momentum, especially with what we've been working with. So keep that in mind. We'll be up again next week. If you get a chance, revisit the suggested topics because those have shifted, especially in the last two blocks. So you'll be able to see what it is and where we are headed. I've let go of some things and brought in some new things that I was invited to bring in. So I'm very excited. So I'm going to move in my palatial palace across the hall. Actually, it was a tiny hall. It's just a bookshelf there. To the solfeggio tones. I'm going to start with these particular tones to set a frequency. I wish you guys were all here standing around that, because it sure sounds good in human sound in the stereophonic world of the surround sound world of my head. But let's just say the vibration has gone through and has allowed each of us to experience a clearing of energy. I invite you on the count of three to go ahead and speak your name, your true birth name. 1, 2, 3. Mark Stanton Welch. Let's do it 6 more times. Mark Stanton Welch. 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 I'm thinking that's 7. We'll find out later when we listen to the phone call. By doing that, we're going ahead and reestablishing our foundation, putting a circle of light around us and building a frequency of openness to the existing guides that are aligned to us. And what's beginning to be very interesting through the study and the work that I've been doing with the Kryon books, I'm beginning to see some things that are in contradiction to what we'll consider the New Age status quo. New information is always unfolding and being delivered, typically based upon the new vibrations that are being put out. And tonight's episode is going to provide you with an understanding of why that is going on as we work with and deal with and experience the Akash. Whew, what a journey it's been getting this one. Not like the DNA, because once the DNA happened, it really began to speed up the time and speed up the experience and give me a lot more energy to go ahead and focus. I hop from one breath to the next, going ahead and doing the next thing that's in front of me. And it's remarkable how much energy becomes available the more I open to new frequencies, new ideas, new concepts, new paradigms, and let go of a lot of the limited beliefs that I had carried even up into the moments of the last week's call. So I'm very excited about it. Now, tonight I intended to go ahead and utilize some of the time to do some exercises with the DNA. I have made another decision that basically will say that next week's call, which is the in-between of the four blocks, so we've completed two, we're moving into the final two, or at least the next two. And it's a good time for us to take a bit of a break. So I'm going to make that a very experiential call that will be a combination of exercises that specifically work with this session and last session, as well as some things we've done before, especially like pranic tube and the breathing along those lines, going in and setting some of the front back chakra elements to review some of those techniques so that we have them available to us as we move into the higher frequency of these coming subjects. And we'll also have some time for questions and answers if indeed there are any things that you would like some clarification on. Hopefully I'll be able to provide some different insight based upon the time it has passed since the sessions were delivered, because we are, none of us are the same as a result of the time that has passed here. So here we are in a particular frequency. I'm going to start tonight with a particular chant, and I don't normally do that in these calls, but there's something that was very important, and you'll see it a little bit later and understand why I'm doing it. This song is called Calling. It's an attempt to make contact with those who are available for us. Calling in the spirit of the earth, give me strength, give me energy. Calling in the spirit of the ancestors, give me knowledge and clear my way. Calling in the angel guardians, watch my back and keep me safe. Calling in the master teachers, bring me wisdom, show the way. I am ready, I am ready, I am ready. One more time. Calling in the spirits of the earth, give me strength, give me energy. Calling in the spirit of the ancestors, give me knowledge and clear my way. Calling in the angel guardians, watch my back and keep me safe. Calling in the master teachers, bring me wisdom, show the way. I am ready, I am ready, I am ready, I am ready, I am ready. I'm calling in spirits of the earth, I'm calling in the spirits of the ancestors, calling in the angel guardians, calling in the master teachers, calling in the higher self, calling in the great Akash, calling in the great Akash, calling in the great Akash. I am ready, I am ready. And so it is, and so it is. Speaking of calling in, typically when I start, I get a phone call from somebody that needs to be on the call. Let me quickly send a text, and I think that all will be well. All right, on the call. All right. We are not alone. We never have been, and yet the very vehicles that we have sensed and been taught, even in the new thought and the new paradigm, where we think that we have a whole lot of beings available to us, we're beginning to see that it's all you, it's all me, and we basically are the resources for ourselves in ways that we could not even imagine even just 2 weeks ago. This is the excitement of the new information coming in, because once we got into the DNA and we began to look at the actual makeup of what we are beyond the limited thinking that we had for so many thousands of years, at least in the mass form, it opened up so many doors. And in some ways, that's why it was so emotional for me last week. For so long, I had put effort and energy into understanding things a certain way, where I thought I was usually pretty open to things and changes, which I was, but there were some key elements that were missing. And last week's session brought those elements up. So the resistance that I had been, I wasn't even aware of the resistance, but let's just say it was the elements and the energies that had put a cap on my unknowing. I didn't even, as it said, didn't even know what I didn't know. I did not even know what I didn't know. How could one? Well, until now, that's a pretty reliable element. But now as we start to take our knowledge of the DNA and the openings that we received and start to apply it to what's called the Akash, we're going to begin to see some of the greater interconnections that happen between the supposed time and space elements, which we typically view as a linear element, but now we are beginning to view them as the sphere, as the spiral, as the connected element, which essentially is going to change everything. Now, does this mean we cannot function in the current world? Not at all. Not at all. But it's becoming very prevalent in understanding here that yours and my new awareness based upon information is going to significantly raise a vibration, and we're going to see tonight how important that is to the big picture. So let me go ahead and stop, giving these introductions and get on with the information. There's a lot here. Surprise! I'm borrowing pretty exclusively from a book that is from a cohort of the Kryon books, and the woman's name is, I'm forgetting it. I'll get it by the end of the show. She's an Australian author who travels on occasion with the entourage of Kryon as they go around the planet, probably four times a month doing sessions with groups and giving very specific information, not only for that group that's there, but for the planet as a whole. Very interesting stuff. Am I going to sell everything and go join the cult? I don't think so, but I sure do love the work. And I am only joking on the idea that it is a cult. So here we go. Though this is called by many the New Age, it is more the age of remembering. Souls are waking up to what they have always known and stimulating consciousness and unconsciousness to access the dream that lurks beneath the actions past. The inner knowing is taking seed and pushing through the toxic energetic debris to grow inner light. That light is expanding with each conscious breath, each new bit of information that resonates, each choice to be the different thing, each recognition of discernment used to shatter an old and worthless paradigm. As the wisdom washes over the past dissolves into the future and embraces the now to reveal the Akashic panorama of infinite possibility in a vista void of time and space. All you have ever been and ever will be is contained in the multidimensionality of your own DNA, waiting for acknowledgement, waiting for acceptance, waiting for the first steps into action to ignite your wholeness and bless you again with your true design. In this session, we explore and expand our wisdom of the Akash to access the capacity to create that which we desire, a life of conscious wholeness, living freely in the multidimensional soup of the all that is. The more we learn, the closer we are to home. So take a breath and just let that sink in as an introduction. There's an undercurrent in what I'm sharing tonight that begins to explain why it is so important to be open to learning new information. And the very act of being present for new information in a conscious way oftentimes is 90% of the new awakening. And there'll be a greater understanding of what happens on the inside as the information is delivered. So here's some generalizations about the nature of the Akash. It may infiltrate into some of the other pieces, the other sections of this, but it gives us the framework to go with. Akash is derived from the Sanskrit word akasha, which has been described as space, sky, and ether in an elemental as well as metaphysical sense. It also represents mystical knowledge encoded in a non-physical plane of existence. I'm only giving this sort of definition here because many of us are familiar on the path with something called the Akashic Record. And we begin to think of it in the terms as the book of life, the element that holds all of the things we've ever done, that has our, like St. Peter at the gate, that's deciding whether we get into heaven or not based upon our deeds. All of those are in a sense, excuse the word, but bastardizations of the real idea of what the Akash is. It is all that and more, although it isn't about the gates of heaven thing. That is a worn-out paradigm, and unfortunately too many are still aligned with it. The Akash is a quantum energy that represents all that is and also the potentials of everything that can be. You know, I just got a thing on here from... Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt here, but I got a little sign on the computer about the conference call. It looks like I'm still recording here. But forgive me for a moment. I'm going to grab my little recorder and do my backup thing, just in case. And in the meantime, I'll just keep talking along. The Akash is a quantum energy that represents all that is and also the potentials of everything that can be, things that are potentially unrealized. It is a sacred library that you pick up and hold through all of your planetary experience and through all of the lifetimes. There is a system that relates birth, life, and death through the Akash. It impacts each in specific, powerful ways, relying on predispositions based on energy. The potentials of who you will meet on the planet are known before you arrive. The karmic attributes that will influence its incarnation are all understood. Synchronicities are in place. You pick your parents, they pick you. No accidents. All elements to steer you towards completion of purpose are set in place, and then you consciously forget upon incarnating until these times. So everything is set in what is called the wind, what is he calling it? Well, I don't want to misquote it. But upon entry, we have all of this awareness. We know exactly what we're going to do. And we embark upon the process. And then immediately at the point when we take our first breath, all is forgotten, for the most part. The beauty of these times, and I will put an aside in here, is that this is one of the gifts that is coming. In the generations to come that include rebirths of our own life and our own soul into new forms, we'll come in with the awareness intact, and we will immediately access the frequency with which we left. That is pretty exciting, because up till now we get here and then we just start over, and hopefully under some rock in some forest near some beach at some lecture we get the piece that reminds us, oh, it all drops in again. But that's not going to be the case, and it's already beginning to show up in the generations that have happened really in the last two, where the kids are coming in with a knowing of the challenges that it is not accepted or not supported by those who are either parental units or the culture itself. This happens in any kind of transition time, and indeed that's what we were in. But the word on the street is that it's shifting much faster than we can even realize. No one comes here to suffer. Rather, we come to remember who we are in the environment of duality, embracing emotion and learning how to find the peace of God, that's P-I-E-C-E, of God within that we are. Again, planting seeds here, things to trigger rememberings. You've always been, and that information, like a chronicle, a diary, is contained in the Akash. You have always been. And that information, like a chronicle, a diary, is contained in the Akash, to which you do have access anytime you desire, provided you are a particular vibration. And that is based on the conscious letting go of limiting paradigms, the releasing of toxic energy reservoirs of the past, and an openness to learning and applying truth that will come to you. So here's the thing, and this is why the information is so important and why I believe you've been drawn to this process so far. It's because you hunger and understand on a deep level that the information itself is the vibratory element that will lift you to give you new information. It will literally take the keys off or take the restrictions off so that the information can flow freely to you, through you, from you. This is really important. It's really important to understand how critical it is that we remain open to everything. By this time in our vibration, we're beginning to see that you know, this certain things just don't resonate anymore. The ways of things of the world as they have been, you know, that show up to us individually, they just don't resonate anymore. Sure, we can tolerate them. Sure, we can be okay within them. Sure, we can show up and put on a good face and actually be in a place of center with all of that stuff. And yet we know there is so much more that is revealing itself so quickly here. It's almost like we're just in this sort of constant state of anticipation because stuff is revealing. And whether that's happening to you or not yet, it is on a level that hasn't reached awareness. So pay attention to that. The specific forms of how you're adjusting the new frequencies are particularly yours, and they are in alignment with elements of you and your sort of old karmic patterns, your own life lessons, and I'm using words here that will be discussed in a moment. It's all a unique experience, which is the magnificence and beauty of it. And it also hints towards the folly of making generalizations, establishing processes or the seven best ways to do this, because they may not be so for you. But what it does is it gets us into the ballpark that starts our own process, starts our own waking up. Birth is a portal between linearity and multidimensionality. Being born is not easy. We're not just talking 3D here. We're talking on many levels. The first thing you do is split apart. Not all of the peace of God you are gets transferred to the human body. Some of it continues to reside on the other side of the veil. You become singular, 3D. Your higher self stays as the liaison between earthly life and your divine knowing, guiding you to remembering and reuniting. Pieces of your core split off to become your guides. This is why they align with you, your true frequency and your name. When we call forth our guides through the use of our name, we are calling forth these elements of ourself that are intimately related to us throughout all of our soul journeys to be available for us. And that's why we call on a frequency. The frequency that I refer to when we speak our name is a very unique frequency to which these guides, quote-unquote, are aligned. They are aligned to the frequency because they are the frequency. And it is all one unification. Starting to get a little bit off the beaten path here, but stay with me on this because it's really very important information. Actually, I invite you to just surrender and not even pay attention, because that way a lot of stuff will get in that the mind is trying to keep out, if indeed that is happening. pieces of your core split off to become guides. The elements of us, the peace of God, and the reason that the wholeness of who we are does not incarnate is because the dimension cannot handle that frequency. It just does not work here. So in a sense, it is dumbed down or stepped down so that the frequency can oscillate and do its work of reawakening here. Prior to 1987, your Akash was linked to the dispensation of karma and supporting the paradigm of the karmic cycle, which is successive lives of awareness, compensation, and applied learning. With the harmonic convergence, the possibility of voiding karma was introduced because of the new frequencies washing us. Essentially, this allows old souls primarily to stop the karmic cycle, specifically or in general. In other words, for a specific element to stop the karmic cycle, or in general to include many elements about us, allowing them to exercise free will choice to continue raising frequency to reawaken the divine. Everything that is presented here is tempered by the notion of free will. This is what, in a sense, ignites us and what also deflates us. Our free will can get in the way of us being open to accessing and integrating new information. It can also be the vehicle that ignites us to run with it and to live as if and to experience it, all that comes from that new awareness. A useful remembrance. Okay, I'm just finding my place here. To access the Akash. Okay, here we go. Oh, sorry. The Akash contains time capsules filled with spiritual wisdom awaiting release, which comes when the collective vibration reaches a certain higher frequency. So we are not here as an isolated being, though at times it feels that way, and even in the esoteric circles, it seems to show up that way. We are a collective of all of humanity that has been and will ever be. We are a part of that infinite soup, if you will. And because of that, what we do impacts everything else. The time capsules themselves, there are two different senses, and we'll look at those more specifically. Well, I'll wait for that. Let me just finish out what I said here. These capsules were put into place on the earth by the Pleiadians, our spiritual parents. Capsules are in the crystalline grid, which I'll talk about, as well as your own DNA. Though the reasons are many, a primary one is to see if humanity can create an ascended planet. The higher we get in our vibration, it becomes not so much a personal thing of us reawakening and remembering, but about assisting the process collectively to create a planet of high vibration as well. We are so intimately woven with Gaia, which is the living earth, that it's hard to separate self, and why would one want to? The process of using the Akash is to realize that this is an intimate interaction and relationship and a cohesiveness that exists between us, our higher self, and Gaia. And this in some ways is why we feel so connected in nature for those that do. We feel so inspired by the visual of what happens in nature, so inspired even by the intensity of it. We begin to see these deep reflections of ourselves as the earth itself. It reflects the vibrational level of the collective. This is why, in a sense, it's so very important that each of us work our vibration, work to raise it. Because it is those moments of raising it that begins to impact anyone we come in contact with, and in no time at all, the exponentiality of that takes over, and it lifts the collective into a higher frequency as well. And it is the raising of the higher frequency that is going to burn off the old ways. It is going to burn them off by creating transition and transformation and opening individuals who have been consumed by the old to be open to new ways of doing things, because they too feel the fire and feel the excitement and the energy and the expanse of the heart opening itself. It is turning into this beautiful and magnificent system where it's impossible to hold any kind of judgment or grief or energy, anything against anyone. And once again, I'm called to the notion of the lesson on the oneness, which I tried to do several times. And it has been relegated to the very end of this entire program, because it is only through all these elements that I'm beginning to understand what the oneness means. And therefore, I can't even pass on what I don't know. And that's the beauty of this. So the time capsules, okay, to access the Akash, one must consciously believe in it. Sounds familiar. It is a frequency of consciousness that is the key to revealing its properties, information, and tools. It is not how much knowledge and experience is in your Akash, but how much you allow yourself to believe it. Because do know that the belief itself and the amount that you allow reveals the Akash to you. No door will open without a belief that is reflected in your heart, which is reflected in your words, in your intentions, in your vibration. And this, in a sense, is what the old mystery schools were about. They were secret organizations that met in secret so that they could individually and collectively raise a vibration to be able to take on information. It was like a password. Your vibration essentially is your password to get into the program, if you will, the new program. The Akash is a system that helps drive humans into situations of learning and solution. Your way home must be discovered, and the Akash contains all the maps necessary to guide you there. It can never be erased, and you live with it every day. It can be enhanced, understood, and changed to create your own evolutionary process. It begins to give credence to our moments of living. When we have an experience where we start to see no connection to anything, what a beautiful opportunity for us to take a breath, stand back, and look at the big picture. The big picture and the information that comes is really about us investing in communicating with our own inner self. And that will become a theme of this entire session, as well as some of the activities and the exercises that we will do next week. The Akash has drivers which communicate certain feelings about the Akash into your brain. And it allows you to sense something. It gives you experiential emotional concepts. Currently, the Akash, by vibrational frequency, drives the survival instincts to the brain. For many on this planet, the basic instinctual element is strictly to survive. That is really a program that has been instilled and reinforced culturally, socially, and really worldwide. It's an old paradigm that no longer holds water. Because when it's about survival, there are a lot of behaviors, beliefs, actions, thoughts, etc., that automatically start to show up, and we can name them all typically with lists of things that we don't necessarily like about ourselves, about how we do certain things, about things we want to change. Many of those are based upon that old survival paradigm. Boy, these are great times. But the Akash is realigning the drivers with new energy calibrations that will change the way we experience the Akash. Clearing the pineal will remove certain established filters that have contributed to holding us in a collective limiting paradigm. Past lives will diminish their impact as we begin to remember success, love, compassion, and the results that come with high thinking. Human being will be driven by positive things. Okay. Human beings will be driven by positive things. Conscious awareness of a compassionate mind will extend life. it's hard to paint the existing picture without offering something of what's coming down the pike. You know, it is no accident that in the visions that we carry of a world that is peaceful, that is filled with love, exists in everyone. Even in the craziest and the most diabolical dictator, et cetera, it's all about what, you know, the Course in Miracles says, everything is a call for love. It's either love or fear. Even in a fearful state, things are done in the name of wanting to improve something so that it will be a better world, at least inside of me. This may be hard to understand, especially in what's being called linear thinking, in the old ways of A to B to C to D. When we start looking in what's called quantum or the multidimensional, we begin to see the infinite palette of possibilities that are there awaiting every moment and how we respond to it. Whew. That's the first section. Let me talk about being an old soul. Whoops, looks like I didn't do that one. Hold on, I gotta go find it. Being an old soul. I didn't do the link on it. Oh. Okay. An old soul is a human who has had many earth lives. That's all it is. Many on the current New Age path talk around the crown coffee tables. Yeah, I'm an old soul. Yeah, I've been around the block. I've been around many times. Yeah, you can see it in the lines of my face. I'm an old soul. And many people talk about it. Yeah, I'm an old soul and I'm tired and I'm ready to move on. But here's the interesting thing about the quote-unquote old souls who are ready to move on. We've finally reached a point where, in a sense, our choice to incarnate in this particular time is beginning to show the results of all the efforts, all the lifetimes that we brought into play. And you can bet dollars to donuts, as they say, that they will be back, that you will be back. You will be back to experience what's coming. Gosh, there's so much stuff dropping in here, but let me stay with what's going on. An old soul is a human who has many earth lives, okay, many dirt lives. They carry a frequency of knowing that allows them to be in greater comfort and flexibility in changing and turbulent times. Having said that, old souls can be just as unaware as new souls if they choose to do and be so. That's because of free will and all. So, just because one is an old soul doesn't mean up till now that they remember that. But there seems to be a proclivity for many of them, many of us, to be able to handle moments in a different way. And although we went through our tantrum stages, and we went through those times when we kicked and screamed as the form showed up, we also knew underneath all of our actions and beyond them in a bigger picture, there was a great understanding that it was all okay. Not everybody feels that. Too many are engaged in that reptilian brain that's about survival, and it gets pretty frantic at times. The New Age, or the Age of Remembering, typically views old souls as those who are wise to the ways of the earth. Often they say, this is my last incarnation. Okay, I just paraphrased, and this is what I said. The linear influence in the Piscean learnings are deeply embedded and influential. Okay, let me move on from that. Unless one is consciously raising their frequency and leaving behind the energetic debris of the past along with the worn-out beliefs and paradigms, they are not necessarily cultivating the frequency that will allow them to start accessing the Akash to take advantage of their many lifetime learnings. So let me just be a gentle nudge to those of us or those you know who claim to be and most likely are old souls, but who are, in a sense, just kicking back. Having said that, with so many lifetimes, now and then, kicking back through one is a good thing. It's like being on a perpetual vacation just to gather the new energies ready to incarnate into a new frequency. Old souls will have the greatest impact on the planet in the new energy, and this comes from Kryon. Those who have been here most often will know better what to do than ever before about conditions when they arrive. Old souls have permission to drop the energy of karma and steer their own way through life, co-creating the energy of what they want instead of having to battle the past. The next time around, the karma will not be there either. The DNA remembers the new patterning, and know that what you do in this life shapes the next. You can change the winds of existence to meet your needs. You are not bound by any contracts, for you now seed the moment and alter any agreements you made if it fits the higher vibration. Out of survival mode, you arrive at manifestation mode. So this is a particular process. And quite honestly, the way it looks, it's just something that we claim. And we claim with a belief that indeed it is so, and things begin to happen. We'll have some empowerments here, and if we get to them tonight, great. If not, then that'll be a part of next week's information. The old soul has a storehouse of awakening lifetimes. In the new energy, the old soul will start remembering them and access and apply them to this one. Old souls return with the purpose of raising the vibration of Earth in their current expression of life. And this is kind of, it reminds me of how we're here to change the world. That so often, and especially in the 20s, I'm going to change the world. It's something that lives in all of us, but what the call really is, in the beginning, is to change our own world to help us to understand what's really going on here. So that we can participate fully in the magnificence of this incredible environment and playground and symbiotic earth plane that we are in. Eventually, our purpose starts to involve the greater good because we have reached a point where we take care of ourselves. Every single old soul has been both genders. It is carried in your Akash. You are a gender for many lifetimes. When it is time for change to the other gender, which inevitably happens, there's a window of transitions for 3 to 4 lifetimes before one becomes the other. At any given time, there is about 10% of the population going through the transition. So I hope you're understanding what's being said here. It's a whole new perspective on homosexuality, the realization of the androgyny. There are times when we are really balanced by both. There are times when we are completely letting go of one and beginning to put on the frequency of the other. And we transition during these times of multiple lives to go through periods where we are, in a sense, the word I wanted to say is confused, but I don't want to imply anything here. What this does is give a new perspective on a natural process that occurs by design, rather than saying it's someone who is a mutant or something else like that. You know what I'm saying here? So it's fascinating. It's fascinating. Whether it can be heard by many, I don't know. But it certainly is information to bring in. Old souls are being born in areas where the vibration needs to raise. They form an Akashic group aligned in purpose and vibration with a high possibility that they will meet and work together consciously. So in other words, if you've got an area that is very low in light, a lot of times high vibration beings will incarnate, and they'll incarnate in a sense as a group soul. They'll come in with a particular intention and vibration, and though in the beginning they do not know one another, over time they will be drawn into the actual three-dimensional physical connection with one another to collectively put their efforts into work to create the raising of a vibration in a particular area. It is just fascinating. South America is having large numbers of old souls incarnating with wisdom and conceptual minds, with opportunities to wake up fast and come up with ideas the world has been waiting for. Understand, again, that since 1987, with the quickening of the vibration, what begins to happen is we wake up more quickly. You and I and many of us on this call are well up in our years, in a sense. We've certainly crossed what some consider a midline, although I don't know where the middle years of life are anymore. But we have not participated to the in the frequency that is now at any point before. And so much is happening. It feels like we're on the tail end of the experience. But let me reassure you that in many ways you were the initiator of the experience because of your choices that collectively raise the vibration around us, around you. Now from Kryon, he says, "Old soul, you are the future of the planet. You're the only ones who can carry the Pleiadian DNA that is this pure. You're the only ones who can reach down that far and bring up those hidden ideas because you created and worked them once before, and it was not here. Ideas are not going to be given to you that you've not heard before. You're going to start remembering what you did and skip right to the polished version of how to do it. What happened on the Pleiadian planets can happen here, and you will start with three-dimensional issues, and you will solve them first in brand new ways." A piece of information, an opening and a reminder for us. Let's look now at the idea of karma and life lesson. Whew! The ancient system of karma has been around for a long, long time. Traditionally based on the balance of retribution for choices made, the overarching element of living a good life that honors all, including self, is how most see it. The very idea of the process of karma has done much to seed and maintain the paradigm of reincarnation. Successive lives are necessary to be able to balance karma by facing the lessons one must face. It would even follow that the whole cycle of birth and death feeds into it. One must come back to create the balance, so why not shorten life to make the opportunity present itself? One of the great challenges of this process is that most do not remember what the issues are and spend a good deal of time and of life discovering, rediscovering what they are here to take care of. So it's a system that hasn't functioned well. And what I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. In some ways, you see, we are designed to live a long time. And I'm not sitting here talking about immortality or anything like that, because I'm not necessarily invested in it, but who knows? But the idea that we don't have to have a short life, you know, we're given and programmed that we have, all humans now are living to 73 years old as the average. And so we start to believe that when we get up to that age that we're going to be soon disappearing from the planet. Well, nothing really by design here is further from the truth. That's not who we are. And so to begin to look at things in these systems that have been in place to reinforce an idea is a really good use of time. It's a good use of one's wisdom and awareness to go ahead and go, you know what? That just doesn't serve me anymore. And that's where it begins. What are you going to do differently to begin to create the new experience that is you and that you desire to become? In these remarkable, changing, fast times, when energy increases, that raises the collective and personal vibration is everywhere. Perspectives about karma being the way it is are undergoing serious overhaul as well. Karma is about unfinished business, situations with other humans, feelings to be completed in the system and interaction. It is ancient and slow. It is not needed in the new energy. But if spiritual awareness never is upon you, then karma remains, as it is a part of the Akashic system. So hear what I'm saying. Your awareness increases to the point that you can basically void the karma and move on to accessing your own capacity to handle and direct to your higher self the moments of living, to create the vibration that you are. Or you can just kick back and just follow what's been going on and be a part of this karmic process that, you know, still allows you to be a basically, quote-unquote, good person on the planet and have a small footprint in terms of your impact in a negative way. But anyone who's actually feeling the call of the times is pretty much unwilling to not invest fully in what is possible here. That's my personal perspective on it. Eventful lifetimes are blended with lifetimes of rest and smoothness, like I said earlier. Some karmic cycles are long with intense events, often fear-based, that reveal and hone the soul, and some are short with many small but potent lessons. Some are heavy, and some are light. The system continues to apply itself unless one chooses to void it to get off the road of predisposition and start creating a new energy for yourself as if you arrived with no karma. Attributes of life change, fear drifts away, and one stands in the arms of uncertainty. Voiding allows you to open up to listen to the higher self and access all the tools available inside and out to create an experience that elevates your vibration, elevates the vibration of self, others in your space, and the planet Gaia. In doing so, one must learn to live without it, which is a whole new challenge. One of the challenges of taking on a new paradigm and allowing it to unfold is that we run up against moments of what we've been and how we've been. And we kind of don't know what the heck to do. And some of them don't feel good. And some of them are very hard to let go of. And as we step into the notion of life lesson in a moment, we're going to realize what feeds those particular things. You separate from your karmic group as well, attracting others to provide the triggering and feedback, quote unquote. Karmic group is a collective energy group of energies that will incarnate because they can support and help one another in meeting their intentions. And the karmic group oftentimes doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a whole bunch of compatriots to just kick back with. Oftentimes they're the very ones who are getting in your face and really forcing you through action and intention and event to face that which you had intended to face. And in so many ways, broken relationships and beings that we've had interactions with that have left us feeling damaged and hurt are really the ones who are bringing awareness to us in powerful ways. When you void your karma, you release your connection with that particular group. And then basically you begin to attract new energies. The invitation is to create your own balance. And for that purpose, you bring in all elements necessary to support it. In this new state, one becomes focused on life lessons. Now, these are completely and profoundly personal and only about you with you, belonging to your individual core soul. They stay with you even when you void your karma. Each human has more than one life lesson and comes in with this as an overlay. Solution of life lessons carries over into your next life and never has to be learned again. This is the beauty of it. Life lessons are about how we are in a place of integrity and in alignment and balanced. And that's how we begin to look at our lessons. Some of the typical ones, and I believe they were introduced last week, learning to love, learning to listen, learning to receive, learning to love yourself, learning to speak your truth, learning how not to be a victim, learning not to let anyone define you, learning how to feel your own mastery, learning how to live with other humans, learning how to get out of blaming others, learning to live in abundance, learning to trust life, learning to be compassionate to self and others, learning to be nonviolent and peace-filled, learning to understand and embrace emotions, learning how to move out of duality, learning to take care of yourself more than others, etc. Life lessons do not involve family, a karmic groove, or the group energy. They are yours personally and are worked on for lifetimes in many cases, but they are on the table ready to be addressed. This is the difference. More often than not, we're very aware of our life lessons. They may be difficult to begin to actually do something with, but we know what they are. And often they show up as behaviors that we find irritating about ourselves, patterns, things that keep repeating themselves, showing us, you know, giving us the same results over and over again. These are the elements that we begin to apply the idea of life lesson on. They often use temporary contracts to initiate focus and action and results. Your clearly stated intention is often enough of a contract to initiate a process of learning the life lesson. In other words, again, awareness is a huge part of the whole evolution process. When you become aware of a life lesson and you set the intention to address it and begin to move in that direction, a whole lot begins to happen, only because you made the choice to do so. It is a clear process of you raising a new vibration by taking a different path into something. Awareness leads to choice, which leads to action in your own time. Again, it is balanced by free will. And we start and we stop. We start, we stop. We go back. We move around. We dilly and dally until we don't. Each lesson learned frees you up to be more of your true vibration with complete access to your tools, talents, and powers. And from Kryon, here's a quote. Life lessons are derived from past experience and things you need to work on for more balance and joy. Once you identify and work on them, they can either come in again for further work or you move on to another one. You never move backwards in this chain of benevolent self-help. The system is always about completion and balance with benevolent purpose. Boy, this is in direct counter to so much that we've been taught about how damaged goods we are, about how so many things are wrong with the world. We don't even need to get into the reason for that anymore. We just need to know that there's a very different way now to begin to look at it and to believe in it, to create new beliefs about it, and then thus create new actions. Okay. Let's move now to the Akashic Record. And this is a piece you've heard about, most likely. This is your personal record in the Akash, the place where your earthly history and more is stored. There are three places, actually four, where it is kept and consistently updated. Remember, this is a multidimensional system here. These three places, the four places, the first is called the Cave of Creation. These sound just like great places. The second is in your own DNA, and the third is in the crystalline grid that is on Gaia. Those are the primary three. And this is a very interesting idea about the fourth. It is actually a backup system for the Akash, for all humanity, and it is kept in the cetaceans. The cetaceans being the whales and the dolphins. Whew, boy, are we going somewhere. There is an inherent element of connection with whales and dolphins and those creatures of the seas, particularly those ones, that is beyond all understanding, and this begins to help us to understand why. If you want to look back at the history in the Lemurian, in the early days of that, when the Pleiadian energy came in to seed, plant the seed of the divine and to create the new form of human, they also did kind of a fail-safe thing, and they planted the very same information into the whales and the dolphins in the DNA. Oh, we're getting out there. But when you start to embrace the bigger picture, when you start to recognize the connection on this in this domain, in this earthly domain, of the level of connection and interaction we have with all living beings, all living things, whether they are the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the elemental kingdom, the mineral kingdom, the ethers themselves, you realize what a masterful creation this is and how for so long we have been ignorant of it. At the very least, these calls are about giving you some other perspectives about how to look at the world. And then your own being begins to open up that which is the information that you really are open to and ready for. So more on that in a moment. Gaia has a magnetic grid. Each piece of DNA is surrounded by a magnetic grid. The transformation of energetic information between several places that the Akash is stored is possible because of the attributes of magnetics, which is a multidimensional energy. You have two magnetic elements, the Earth, Gaia, and then you have the DNA, and they exchange information through the very process of magnetics. But they do it in a multidimensional energy. Every single human soul who comes to Earth makes a difference. The energy of each unique human being modifies the life force of Gaia when that soul arrives. Gaia creates a record stored as an energetic imprint. Hear what I'm saying here. At your point of incarnation, the Earth registers this information. We're going to talk in a moment about the Cave of Creation, where individual crystals are held that are the record keepers for each soul that has ever been and those to come. Pretty fascinating stuff. Within your Akashic record are a multidimensional record of each life, all the energies of accomplishment, all the unfinished business relating to your life lesson, karmic group attributes, all the talents and abilities grown over many lifetimes, all spiritual growth, a quantum record of what you have done, and all your potentials to come. This is contained in this Akashic record. The record itself is held in the Cave of Creation. It is held in your own DNA as we established. I think it's layer 8. It is held in the very energetic fabric, the crystalline grid that is a part of the planet Gaia, and it is also contained as a backup system in the cetaceans. The Akash is constantly changing. It's changing potentials based on your choices and the moments of living in the now. What you do in this moment registers in your particular Akash. It's an ongoing record of that which you are doing. How beautiful. How beautiful. And to have access to it is even the more amazing thing, which is going to open up some windows and doors in a moment. Two kinds of Akashic records exist in this quantum timeless state, global and personal. The global one is contained in the Cave of Creation and interfaces with what's called the crystalline grid. You know what? I'm going to come back to this, and I'm going to do one that specifically was on the Cave of Creation and crystalline grid so that we can get that clear. Here we go on that. The Cave of Creation is like an Akashic library. It actually exists in the quantum state within the Earth's crust, but will never be found. It is crystalline in nature, contains the Akash of all humanity, has a record of every life lived and every potential life to come, has a crystal for every human, has crystals that remain even when you are gone. The crystals record every lifetime, every accomplishment, every failure, every personality, every epiphany, every passion, all spiritual growth, every remembrance in each gender, over and over and over. All of this accumulates and is available for your use. This is where it starts to get interesting. There is one crystal per soul, yet they are uncountable. The crystal aligns you with Gaia. It represents the circle of life. The crystal is an ongoing record that often morphs with others and the collective as life choices and experiences are made. It is an alive system that contributes to the experience of synchronicity. The gatherings we have, the meetings we take, oftentimes are orchestrated and supported through the crystal and the crystalline grid and the Cave of Creation. It's starting to get very actually confusing, but let's stick with it. This record keeper is accessible to you consciously. This is where we start to see we can interface. You can use it to learn about your infinite journey, your lifetimes, your wounds, your talents, your purposes, your learnings, your successes, on and on. And when you transform from this incarnation, you spend 3 days in a multidimensional experience with the crystal, downloading, adjusting, intending, closing the experience in anticipation of the next incarnation. Upon incarnation, you become connected to your crystal and have available all that it contains, your personal record, to use as based on your level of awareness, understanding, and vibration. And again, that is shifting. Whew. I know we want to do something with this right now, but I've got to deliver the goods. So I want you to hang in with me here. Whatever it takes, even if you fall asleep, and if you find yourself drifting, the information is still coming in. It's all good. Now, the crystalline grid is a dimensional energetic grid covering the Earth. It's like a storehouse of energy and action aligned to the current collective human frequency. Now, hear this. It remembers everything you do is immediately responsive to your present life. In other words, it energetically holds a collective and personal experience of location on Earth, which are accessible, reaccessible when you are there. And what this is saying is, have you ever been to a spot where you feel something? You feel a deep connection to it. If you've ever been to a place that had an event, maybe it was an event that was traumatic, and you go there, you begin to feel what happened there. You feel the emotionality of it. This is the crystalline grid in action. It contains the frequency and the experience. It puts it into a memory that we have access to. The crystalline grid carries the energy of all the crystals in the cave of creation, in other words, past lives, and creates the vibration of the earth, the current vibration of life, which is really its main function. All right. I think that I'm going to get into this, so let me go ahead and say it first, go through this, and then I want to get back and underscore something. It is a mechanism of how humanity communicates with Gaia. Here we go. It is a multidimensional esoteric grid that is like a shell of the planet that remembers human history. The planet responds to you because of it. And though it has been linear, it is transforming, like us all, into a multidimensional grid that reflects the current state of humanity. With the changes in energy, the grid is also morphing in the frequency of what it holds. As human energy rises from focus on loss, war, limitation, fear, feelings, emotions, etc., so too the Earth frequency parallels this change. The grid is cleaning and clearing along with human transformation. There is a growing reduction of drama. More positive, higher frequencies are becoming the collective norm. The grid is responsive more to light and compassion, paying less attention to recording lower frequency events. It is a symbiotic recalibration that benefits the whole. And that is incredibly beautiful. So let's just paraphrase what's going on here, is that this grid is the interface between humanity and Gaia. And the vibration of humanity in a collective is the vibration is reflected in this crystalline structure and in a sense defines the vibration of Gaia. This is the symbiotic and intimate relationship that we carry with the planet. So if we are indeed here by part of our design to create an ascended planet, because it's just the cool thing to do these days, then by every means possible, we are about raising our own personal vibration. Because immediately, as we have underscored already, you begin to impact the vibration of others around you. And the collective is impacted. And it really is a small percentage of people who reach their capacity of awareness and higher vibration that then begins to impact the masses. It's like the 100th monkey. There's a certain energetic... level that must be reached. And once that is reached and transcended over, a whole lot just begins to take place by the very design of the energy itself. You don't know that the work that we are doing tonight is going to be the vehicle or not that changes the world we wake up to tomorrow, that causes certain things to shift in a huge way. We just don't know that. But we continually, in our spirit of belief, we absolutely move forward knowing that this is possible. We continue to learn. We continue to apply all that we have access to. Because not only does it benefit us, but it benefits the collective vibration. And once again, a quote from Kryon. As you leave this place making decisions that are going to enhance your life, you are creating light and generating compassion that the planet knows about and records. This is what you are here for. That is your goal, no matter what you thought you were supposed to be here for. Everything you do is about the creation of peace inside. Your goal is to exist and to love God. When you are born, your instincts are driven by your Akashic inheritance. You know God is inside. You know that help is there. And here, you know intuitively of your seed biology and the love of those who seeded you. All of those things are inbred to do what no other human being can do at this point in time, and that is to change the planet. This is how important you are. this is how important I am. This is how important each of us is. And being called to participate in something like Tools for the Times is a willingness to say yes to your capacity to make a huge, huge difference. Because as we raise the vibration of the planet, certain lower frequency behaviors in humans are no longer possible. They cannot be sustained. Do you hear what I'm saying? That the work on the connection through our own individual efforts for ourselves applies in such a dramatic way that it begins to override even people considered evil, etc., those who are doing dastardly deeds and being greedy and all those things. Suddenly they wake up and go, wow, I just want to be different. I want to be different. I want to use my resources to help. I want to, whatever the form is. Hear how powerful this is. All right, we go back to the Akashic Record. I left with, upon incarnating, you activate the crystalline structure and your higher self becomes a caretaker while you are here. Crystalline structure is the mineral that has an atomic structure that has long-term atomic order. And this basically means that it creates the attribute of memory. The crystalline structure contains sacred life lessons, knowledge, memory, and remembrance. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is lost. What you do here stays here. Crystals have memory, and the crystalline structure is the vehicle that each of us has for downloading our information. It's like our personal cloud, if you will. It's where we send all our important data. But it isn't just the important data, it's everything that went along with it, all the choices we made, no matter what the form they were, because everything has value. Here we go. Successive lives through reincarnation are recorded. The same higher self is there for each. Many names, many faces, many experiences, all contained in the structure of the Akash. It stays here and contributes to the energy of all humanity who will follow. Did you hear me throw in a little part there? The same higher self is there for each. The higher self has transcended and walked with us and been a part of our every incarnation. And this creates a familiarity and a comfort zone, knowing that there is a tie between all of the lives we have won, and we're going to look at that we have won, that we have experienced, and we're going to look at that in a moment when we talk about mining the Akash. The grid also contains all the potentials of the lives you may live, helping to posture who you will be in the next time around. That gets out there, so we're just going to leave that as it is. The second kind of Akashic Record is personal. It's the DNA. It is for your personal discovery, awareness, karma, and life lessons. The DNA mini Akashic Record is formed in the womb and given at birth. It is bequeathed upon us. It is a record of who you are and who you have been on earth, containing the potentials of what you might do, carried within the layers. Because time is a circle, all of your lives are with you now because the energies of things you have collected are all part of you. You have multiple current lives all at the same time, layers of lifetimes being all lived in the now. But one is the top of the layers in control, sort of, the one currently occupying your body. I am really sending you out to different places, but in the multidimensional soup, if you think linearly, as layers, you begin to see that these concurrent lifetimes, all of them in this great sphere, are accessing at the same time, are happening at the same time. We have the one that we are invested in right now, where we currently are, and that becomes the one through which we interact with the others. This one talks to all of the others in the Akashic Record. By connecting with the higher self, all of the lives and experiences and learnings over 52,000 years become available. You can choose to pick the best parts of each and bring many former attributes forward to use. This is called mining the Akash. More on this in a moment. Accessing the DNA portal to the personal Akash reveals what is buried inside to your conscious self. Are you becoming aware of the shaman inside? Are you starting to acknowledge the old soul personality, personally and privately, that is there? Are you starting to receive talents and skills that have been buried? Are things creative? All things creative are there. And you have intrinsically known it all along. Now you can consciously access it. there are only two kinds of DNA on the planet which are structured for quantum intellect, the human being and the cetacean. Let me say this. Whales and dolphins are the living portions of the grid system. They are the living library containing the history of Earth's evolution. All three Akashic systems, the DNA, the cave of creation, and crystalline grid, are stored in whales and dolphins. They coordinate and cooperate with the crystalline grid. The cetaceans of the Earth are therefore the fourth place and the backup where your Akashic record exists. There are only two kinds of DNA on the planet which are structured for quantum intellect, the human being and the cetacean. If you really looked at dolphin DNA closely, you will also find that they are not from here like us. And then I say, cue the Pleiadian music. We skip very quickly now into what's called the Akashic inheritance and communication. I am filling you up with information that is going to trigger through the night releases and new awarenesses that are going to actually be exciting. Each human born comes with an Akashic inheritance, and this expands and explains anomalies in the 3D body chemistry gene system. In other words, how is it that two beings in the same family born of the same parents are so different, so completely unlike one another, not only in the way they present themselves in personality, but in their capacities and skills? You incarnate with elements of the past life's influence and learnings that is contrary to your 3D genetics. Each human has a different, unique Akashic inheritance. It's a template for your personal expression of the eternal you. Your cells are tuned into past lives much more than we know. What works for you individually, even within siblings and family, is a reflection of this inheritance. You are born with a genetic inheritance in whatever form it shows up. You also have your human nature imprint, your astrological overlay, and your Akashic attributes such as past life lessons and the Akashic inheritance. Your incarnation as human starts at the first breath because this is the first time you have free choice. You receive the karma carried over, and it's there until you choose to void it. You set up life, the setup of life lessons and the energy of the personality are based upon the crystalline Akashic record that also transfers at birth. Whew, there's a lot. Refer to the section on karma and life lessons, which I will do in a moment. Actually, I've already done that. Opening to the Akash opens us to and reveals to us the strength and depth of our ancestors' influence. Wise are the ones who remember from whence they came and include the ancestors in your moments of living. It expands the continuity of the circle of living. This is why I sang the chant in the beginning about making the connections with all that is available to us through time, through the circle. I can't even use time anymore. You can call upon them to open the mutual communication and then enter the silence to listen to them. Feel them first and then have your own higher self translated into language you can understand. And not only are we talking about the 3D lineage, but actually more so our divine heritage, the Lemurians, the Pleiadians, the Arcturians, the Sirians. The Pleiadians are our divine parents. The Arcturians are grandparents. The Sirians are the great-grandparents. They form our always available creative source group. Do not ignore them, but invite and listen to communication through the higher self. They are all part of the galactic Akashic inheritance. They know us, and we know them. They are very, very helpful. And as we get in touch with our ancestors, as we connect with the templates placed within us and Gaia, we open the door to the portal that holds the wisdom and knowledge of what humanity can do to become a graduate, divine, aware culture. And a quote here, communication be enhanced. Can be enhanced through the same process as connection with the higher self. As you increase your intuition through working in the connection with the pineal, it enhances your innate body intelligence as well. This opens communications that is far more multidimensional everywhere. These groups communicate through the same portal as your connection with spirit. I want to quickly do time capsules of the Akash because it's relevant, and then we're going to end with the idea of mining the Akash. Whew, take a breath. I invite you to speak your true name in the count of three. One, two, three. Mark Stanton Welch. Three more times. Mark Stanton Welch. Mark Stanton Welch. Mark Stanton Welch. Be aware of your feet on the floor, your butt in the chair, your connection with the dimension that you are in, as well as the openness of the above and the openness of the heart that allows information to flood through you. Time capsules were placed on Earth by the Pleiadians, who seeded the planet with divine DNA, all in appropriateness and love. There are 12. They are activated in pairs. There are time capsules in Gaia within the crystalline grid and the cetaceans, and there are time capsules in your own DNA within your Akash. They are primarily for the purpose of assisting humanity to create an ascended planet. Those within Gaia are about information and ideas. They contain quantum attributes of science and life waiting to be discovered to assist us in moving into the new energy. They are portals to the Pleiadian information that were ready to open with the passage of time, capsules that open to a portal of communication. So opening them simply enables real-time information to be delivered to Earth. The time capsules will seem to be alive by those who can sense them, and they buzz with activity to the esoteric seer. There is a storehouse of future knowledge and ideas in them, opening first with ideas about unity and peace before the inventions are revealed that allow these elements to take place. You understand that time capsules happen like it's like burying. When I was a teacher, we did a time capsule for our fourth graders, and we planted it, and then came back 10 years later when all of them had graduated from high school, and we basically came back and opened up the time capsule. It was a fun and cool process and brought a real deep connection to all of us. These time capsules essentially contain very specific information. Now, actually, they contain the portal to the information. And certain vibrations need to be reached. Certain amount of time needs to be passed with the assumption that certain awarenesses are going to be reached before these open up. The DNA capsules are more personal. The spiritual inheritance you come in with that's ready to open like a lotus. Kryon says, when it does, there will be new awareness. There will be peace in a countenance that is not necessarily peaceful. There will be patience in a countenance that is not necessarily patient. That's when you get to change you, for it releases ideas, emotions, and the consciousness that has been with you always, but only now is beginning to show itself in the new way. In the Akashic record, there is experience and learned knowledge. The old souls will get it first and then be charged to pass it on to the new souls, assisting mightily in shifting the existing and resistant energy. Old souls are being born in young bodies in the new generations because they can put the remembered information in direct use to address the forms of now. They have invented social media as a tool of global transparency. And here's a quote, when everyone can talk to everyone, then there can be no secrets. The youth of many countries are talking to the youth of other countries, creating and initiating change in traditional policies and beliefs, transforming cultures by connecting, seeding the vibration, raising of the crystalline grid of Gaia to impact all living beings on Earth. And what we in the older generations are not understanding is to realize that these things are happening as a result of people like us, old souls reincarnating, coming in to provide the information immediately available to them. What an incredible time we're in. The time capsules create new energies of thought in you, result in new ways of thinking and addressing the forms of the moments, leading to discoveries and inventions that transform the planet. There is an awakening that begins within you, and it's important that you pay attention to your thoughts and feelings because it is coming right out of your past lives in Akashic record. This will help create synchronicities that would not have happened otherwise. And as you become more quantum in your consciousness, your Akash is going to start growing in its awareness to help you start remembering far beyond the now into the great circle of life, borrowing from the future to seed the now. And it says only 0.5% is necessary to create the light workers who will change the earth into higher vibration. Finally, mining the Akash refers to the conscious process of accessing information, tools, techniques, and talents from previous lives and lives to come. It works because of the non-linearity of time and space that exists beyond the third dimension. In a powerful sense, we are living all of our lives in the simultaneous circle of life. We reach in from the current life and pull that which we desire and need to meet the moments and raise our vibration in the now. I hope you're hearing the potential of what I'm talking about. It works because it is the quantum field. Consider the Akash a gold mine with your name on it. Lives lived become available. You are not able to lower vibration, but you can raise it by calling on what you have already learned and achieved to replace the you of now. All of your talents live in your DNA. Access this library of experience. Your Akashic record is unique, containing the many flavors of you. Here's an example of an empowerment. You say, I would like these things. I give permission to activate the energies that needed to be activated in my life to accomplish the purposes I came for. I want to have joy in my life and to find the joy in my full Akash, for I deserve it and I've earned it. I've had positive, joyful lives, so I want to pull in that energy. We'll look more at this next week when we start to put application into these very, very fascinating and expansive elements. Asking with clear intent activates the higher self to go to the Akash and bring back the representation of that energy and request. Do you see the process? You connect with the deep inner world. You access your higher self and invite it to actually bring you that which is needed, trusting that the higher self knows the very best thing for us. Everything you have is changeable, right down to the diseases that you currently carry in your blood. It's in the Akash, part of your DNA so that it belongs to you. All the abilities to do certain kinds of things, to be an artist, a musician, an orator, a writer, a warrior, a leader, the one who was disease-free, all of the many permutations of lives you have been. The main element here is to believe it is possible, strongly, without a doubt or hesitation. I have a record in my DNA of all that I ever was that I can actually access. Believe that the higher self was with you in each experience. Now, in a new expression of you, you access the higher self to retrieve what it already is familiar with. Remember that the system of God lives inside you and that the very essence of your divinity lies in the multidimensional DNA that is within your own body. Be still and know that you are God. Stop searching and begin living as if. Your higher self is a piece of the Creator. We are all born with it. You have the same soul you always have had, a constant friend along with your innate that allows you to access and use pure intent. Begin and the process takes over. It's a leap of faith. This is what Spirit has been waiting for, a willingness to jump off the cliff of the old beliefs and simply pay attention and gather the new. What seems so overwhelming as far as information is really put into action so that you grok it, so that you begin to experience it, apply it, and become it strictly by being open to it. Give yourself permission to believe. Give yourself some permission to lay down that which no longer serves you, and you know exactly what that is. And open to the belief that what we are talking about here, in a small part, in a big part, in a complete part, is what is coming, is what is here now. That becomes the vehicle for us. Okay, I have to go back and finish with a quote from Kwion, Mr. Little Kwion. Hey, Kwion. There are two things here. Every life to come is based on the potentials of the now. Each time you shift your current life, the potentials of the lives to come also change. There is no timeline, only a constantly updated potential of your next life, created by you as you walk the current life. Another, but now you've created the latter. where there was none before. Do not fear what comes next, for there are those energies that wish to pull you back. These energies are blind and have no idea of the amount of light behind you that will push you forward. They are blind to it. They will scream and yell and go into their own demise in total denial, but you're an old soul, and you've seen that before. They are the masters of DNA recalibration. He's talking about you. Able to shift old energies very quickly with their healing frequencies. Also, they work in a frequency of joy. Actually, he's talking about dolphins. Dolphins are a master of DNA recalibration, are able to shift old energies very quickly with their healing frequencies. Also, they work in a frequency of joy and playfulness that is perfectly suited to the energy of ascension and the new earth. Beloved humans, please listen to your hearts as the energies accelerate during these times. Call upon the dolphin energies as they are the chosen emissaries of light. Their communications will be valuable assistance in helping you to align with the crystalline grid system. Your personal DNA upgrade and the dolphin matrix systems that are assisting in creating the center for the new earth. Also know that the dolphin matrix energy is assisting with the cleansing and the balancing of the earth's oceans. And another evolution is simply the process of activating templates that are already there. Things like thought transference, singing to someone through love and having them hear the love in it. Sending a pure template to a sick template and having spontaneous remission. These are the signs of things to come, sooner than later. And finally, Gaia exists for the sacred human beings who are on the planet in lesson. I want you to think about something. Everywhere you walk, you are known by the earth. What a system. Why do I give you this today? It's so that you continue to feel loved and cared for. It's so you know there is a hand-holding going on between spirit, you, and Gaia, if you want it. There are so many things here for you if you want them. Old soul, you sit here for a purpose. Important you are, precious you are, and a master you are. Now go claim it. Live a long time. Be joyful in the process. Don't make up your mind what's supposed to happen. The worst thing you can do is to predispose what God has for you based upon what you think is happening now. Instead, relax. Be joyful in all things. Fall in love with yourself. Leave this moment differently than you came in. And he says, I am Kryon, lover of humanity, for a very good reason. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. Once again, next week we'll go ahead and apply a lot of this information. We'll begin to get familiar with the process of addressing our DNA, with the process of actually interacting and talking to these parts of ourselves to create the relationship that opens up all the doors. We will start to look and to see how the Akash interplays with all of that, how we can choose to actually access the Akash, and we'll play with ways to do that. We will also look next week in terms of elements that will get us more familiar with knowing our DNA and accessing it through personal and intimate conversation. And so you see these two things overlap. We'll also, with the time we have, do some empowerments that are based upon things we've already worked with. And we will have time for question and answer. The link that I send you tomorrow is going to be filled with a whole bunch of typos. Please be okay with that. And some sentences look like they stumble. It's because they are in my haste to get the work done. I apologize for that in advance and invite you to be open to the information that is coming in through the vibration, more so than the grammar. I will fix it over time, and I will do everything I can tonight to get this thing recording done so that I can give it to you in the morning. I am heading out for the Northwest at a fairly early clip in the morning where I will be in a camp until Sunday with a bunch of families up in Mount St. Helens area, and then I'll be coming back. So in that process, I'll be going ahead and putting together the exercises and the empowerments and experiences that we can call upon next week. If you have questions about any of the sessions we've had thus far and want to bring them up or want to share any of your experiences, we'll allow some time for that as well. For most of all, I'm just blessed by the fact that you will sit here, and indeed, if you still are here, listening to this information and allowing it to do what it's supposed to do, which is to wake all of us up and to reintegrate the idea that we are so much more than we have allowed. Also, before next week, I've sent you some indications about whether you choose to be a part of the future events or not. Please let me know. There are about four or five of you who have yet to let me know what your intentions are. I'll extend the offers and the specials in terms of cost-wise to extend through the time before next week. So please let me know. And if you choose to move on and not be a part of the new ones, I have been blessed, as we all have, by your presence. I've been blessed by knowing that you are on the receiving end of information that I know that is going to make you who you are, contribute to who you are, and reawaken that which you are. So deep, heartfelt gratitude for all of that and for all of us for being a part of this one, especially tonight. This was, it was nonstop. So with that, we bring it to conclusion, and I will go ahead and terminate the call, and hopefully there will be a call to terminate. If not, my trusty recorder is doing its job. One way or another, you will have the information. And really, it has to be by tomorrow night at the latest, because after then, I'll be out of reach of any kind of these ways of contact for 4 days. So, I'll remain online for a moment. Any comments, questions, anything like that? All right, and so it is. We are done now.
Nice job.
Thank you, thank you.
Have a good time camping.
I sure will, Susan. Thank you, too.
Talk to you next week.
Next week. All right.
Here.
Bye-bye.
Bye.